if the one voice, you're worthy of glory, worthy of honor, worthy of praise. We will shout and proclaim the greatness of your holy name. You're worthy of glory, worthy of honor, worthy of praise.
Say that part again, because he's so worthy. We'll stand.
We will stand and rejoice. One people lifting one voice, you're worthy of glory, God, you're worthy of honor, you're worthy of praise. Yes, He is. He will shout and proclaim the greatness of your holy name. You're worthy of glory, worthy of honor, worthy of praise. Sing, you are.
Shout it out, if you know He's good. Sing it out for the Lord is good. Name your About that name. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
You know, I find that there's sometimes situations and circumstances that maybe I don't have the answers to yet. And in the midst of looking for the answer and just, you know, I'm sure you've been there. Maybe there's a situation that you've faced that you just don't necessarily know the answer. That's why you're praying. And I find it a very valuable tool that in those situations and in those times to just simply call on the name of Jesus, to just speak the name of Jesus, that all of a sudden, I shared a little bit of this on Thursday, it's amazing that in the midst of chaos, in the midst of things coming at us, distractions, there's so many things to think about, but you begin to just speak the name of Jesus, it's amazing how all of a sudden that the path becomes a little clearer and the distractions get a little bit less, and all of a sudden now the answer that you've been seeking for that seemed absolutely so complex and so impossible to come to, all of a sudden now, because you've begun to speak the name of Jesus, the answer is right in front of you and it's there, and you know it's from the Lord. If you haven't experienced that yet, I challenge you to try it. Next time that you face a situation where you just don't know what to pray, when you don't know what to do, I challenge you, start speaking the name of Jesus. Next time you go to pray and all of a sudden you're thinking about the kids' doctor's appointments and you're thinking about the bills that are due that week and you're thinking about the argument that you're going to have at work and because you're prophesying. I know I'm going to get into that argument at work today. Next time you find yourself in that situation, just begin to speak the name of Jesus and watch how God will just make a way where there seems to be no way. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I feel that there are at least three. In a crowd this size, I know it's more than that. But I'm gonna just throw a number out there. I bet there's at least three, including those of you online watching us today, that you're facing a situation that you don't know the answer to. There's pressure, you don't necessarily know where it came from, but it's there, and you don't know what to do with it. I want to challenge you to start speaking the name of Jesus toward that thing. In fact, what I want you to do, I want all of us here, why don't you pray with me right now? If you're online, why don't you pray with me right now? If you're here, pray with me right now. And we're going to see Jesus begin to move. Even before anything else happens today, Jesus is going to start moving on your behalf. Father, I don't know every single circumstance and situation. Lord, there are blessed people here looking for guidance on the next decision to make, Lord. There are people here struggling in their faith. There are people here struggling in their marriage, people struggling in their finances, Lord, and they don't know the answer. But, Lord, we know the answer, and it's Jesus. So, Lord, we just speak the name of Jesus to every situation, to each circumstance. And, God, I thank you for the people at home right now speaking the name of Jesus, because the answer is on its way. The people in this audience right now speaking the name of Jesus, the answer is on its way. And I thank you, Lord, that the answer is not only coming, but it's coming quickly. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Now bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, why don't you give about two or three people a high five and say, I'm glad to see you tonight. Glad to see you tonight. And then you may have a seat. Well, it's wonderful to be here on a marvelous Sunday night that's not snowing. And God's going to show up tonight in a powerful way. I just have a feeling in my spirit. And I know the preacher in just a little bit. And so I know they're going to bring it. And it's going to be a good word for us. But before we get to that, I do have some announcements and some things to take care of ahead of time. And so if you're a visitor here tonight, maybe you're coming and this is your very first time ever at our church, you are not a visitor to us. You're actually our guest. And in the seat rack in front of you, there's a contact card. If you would be so kind to just take that, fill it out, put it in the offering bucket when it comes by, that would be a huge help to us. And maybe we could be a huge help to you. It'd just be a great way to connect. And then if you've been coming for a while, I know Sunday night folk, you guys are regulars most of the time, but once in a while, there's somebody that maybe you've been coming for a while, you're not considered a guest or a first-time visitor, but you've been here for a little bit, but you haven't plugged in. You want to know more about us? We want you to know more about us. And so a great way to do that is to take, right in front of the contact card is a Next Steps card. If you would be so kind as to fill that out and put that in the offering, we'll contact you and get you signed up for our Next Steps class. And there's all kinds of information, all kinds of things to get involved with at this church, but it's not overwhelming. We have a lot, but it's not overwhelming. So we want to be a blessing to you, but we also want to set you up so you can be a blessing as well. Somebody say March 7th.
March 7th.
I love having people repeat. It's I know you're getting it. So March 7th, that's this coming Wednesday. We are having our first Wednesday of March service. And it's going to be great, phenomenal. There's going to be Ignite, Kids on the Move. Ignite and Soulfire actually will be having a combined service. And the last time that we had first Wednesday, I heard great things about that. It went great. Kids on the Move, of course, will be in the Epic Center. And then we all will be right here. And God will show up and do great things. And so that's March 7th. That's 7 o'clock. That's this Wednesday. And then March 11th, that is our His and Hers split service. Men in the fellowship hall, women right here. Like I said this morning, I have no idea what the women are going to do. They're just going to have fun and whatever whatever women do to have fun, you know, it'll be great. But the men, we're going to actually have a game warden come speak to us, Roger Gay, and he's going to talk about some of his experiences, which are vast and impressive, amazing, like just incredible things that he experienced as a game warden that, you know, his faith helped him get through it. Then March 13th is our senior citizens luncheon in the fellowship hall. If you're 55 and up, go to that. You don't want to miss it. The food is always great, and it's a great time of fellowship and a great time to encourage one another. And then March 25th. Somebody say March 25th. Hey, I'm hitting you with a lot of information, but it's good information. It's important. So March 25th is our friend day. And so, like I told the morning crowd, the Sunday night crowd sometimes is a little more friendly, so I think you probably have more friends than the morning crowd. But we'd like to tell you ahead of time so that if you don't have any friends, you have until the 25th to actually get some friends. So we try to prep you for success, set you up for success. And so it is. We've done this for a few years in a row now, and Friend Day is always phenomenal. It's a great way to connect people that wouldn't normally come to church. Ushers, if you'd please make your way down here, that would help me out. One last announcement, and I am saving my best for last, and that is next Sunday morning. Somebody say next Sunday morning. Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth is going to be here, and he's going to be preaching. He's going to be preaching on prophecy, end time stuff, and it is a great opportunity to invite people that have questions. Maybe they have questions about their faith. Maybe they have questions about the end times. It's an awesome opportunity, and as I said this morning, if you were here, Tiff Shuttlesworth, Reverend Tiff, or Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, was actually preaching the message that my parents got saved in, which resulted in them, every time talking to them telling me about Jesus and telling me about how they're going to church. And they would just tell me over and over and over. And at first, I wouldn't have thought that it was having any kind of impact, but it started having, you know, when you start planting seeds into people's lives, they begin to think. And I began to think about eternity. I began to think about my life. I began to think about God in a little bit of a different way. And so I'm eternally grateful for the ministry of Evangelist Tiff Shuttlesworth, phenomenal speaker, and just has a phenomenal outreach to all kinds of places around the world. And so be blessed. Come back for that and invite friends. Somebody say money. Somebody say money, money, money. All right. I'm not here tonight to twist your arm to get you to give anything. I'm here just to simply encourage you in something that many of you are already doing. You're giving faithfully. You're participating in the kingdom of God financially. And, you know, the Word of God lays it out to us that we are to be givers. God expects us to be givers. But one thing I've learned is that God never expects or calls us to do anything that He's not willing to help us with. So if God is asking for 10 cents, He's going to give you 10 cents worth of help. If God's asking you to give 10 grand, God's going to give you 10 grand worth of help. What I find is the greater that I get to know God, the greater my faith is to give. And so am I giving as much now or as sacrificially now as I will in a year? Absolutely not. I promise you that. I'm not giving as much as I will give someday. Why? Because it's an area of growth. We all grow in our giving. Yes, financially, speaking of that, but also time, effort. But tonight we're talking about money. That's the most tangible thing that we can give is our finances. And so don't be afraid of two words in church, and that's tithes and offering. They're actually there. They should encourage you and help you. They're there to help you and help you connect in a special way to God. And so let us pray. Father, I thank you so much for Lord, the biblical principles of tithes and offering, but not just the principles, the actions and the results of those actions when we're faithful to give. I thank you, Lord, that we'll never outgive you. In fact, you made the greatest sacrifice and gave the greatest gift, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. But, Lord, we can never outgive you, and we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that you'll bless every giver in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout, amen. Amen. Well, I guess while you're all giving, I'm going to invite our special speaker up here tonight, a woman who needs no introduction. She is our Kids on the Move pastor, Kelly Bean. Give it up for Kelly. And she didn't pay me to say this, but she is one of the, you really shouldn't say this before people speak, but she is a phenomenal communicator, and there's not one time that ever I've heard her preach where I didn't have to take a note, write something down that wasn't applicable to my life. And so I want you to pay attention. I want you to receive what she has to give tonight, because this woman has an anointing, and she has stuff to give you and me, and she's phenomenal. And she is excellent with our kids. She does a great job.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. It's nice to see you. Why don't we just stand to our feet real quick? God is here. Amen. And God is moving, and he's going to continue to move in our lives. So all over this place, if you would just lift up your hands, and let's just begin to welcome the presence of God here. He is here, but in a mighty way, in a strong way. Lord, I thank you. We come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for every person that is in this room, in every section of this auditorium. God, I pray, Lord, that you will meet every person right where they are at. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will help them to see, God, that you care for them, that you care about their need. You know exactly what it is, whether it's big or whether it's small. And God, I just pray that you will be with us, that you will meet us here, that every single one of us will leave differently than when we came tonight. And we say thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go ahead and high five somebody beside you and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now, as Vinny said earlier, I am the children's pastor, so if you get excited about anything I say, you can, you know, make some noise, because we're used to that out there in the Epic Center. But before I get into the word and what God has just really laid on my heart for us tonight, I wanted to just share about something that happened just a few weeks ago in our Epic Kid program. How many of you have heard about the Epic Kid program that we do at the church? Okay, so those of you that are not familiar with it, we actually are able to go into the public schools here in Corinth, and we are able to teach the children about Jesus right after school every Tuesday. Isn't that awesome that that door was open? You know, a lot of times it's hard for us to get into the schools. As you know, the separation between church and state, and it's very difficult to get into the school. But God opened that door for us, and it was in November that we started the new session for this school year. So every time, there are new kids that come in, and they're able to take part in this program. So we have about 30 kids after school, okay? And we're all in this, you know, small room with lots of energy. I don't know what the teachers do throughout the school day. Probably, the kids are very, very quiet, so after school, they're just, woo, they are excited. And so they come in and they're having a great time, but we're able to get into the word. So this was, you know, just a couple weeks into this first session, and I lifted up my Bible and I said, okay, how many of you know what this is? And, you know, a lot of the kids raised their hand and they were able to kind of talk about it, but there's this one boy that he was like, have you ever like worked with children and they like really want to tell you their answer? So they're like, you know, like, pick me, pick me, pick me. And I was like trying to ignore him because I had already taken a lot of, you know, answers and stuff. But he just like would not give up. Like he really wanted me to pick on him. So I did finally. And I'm like, yes, you know, what do you have to say? And he's like, I have no idea what a Bible is. He literally had no idea what a Bible was. He had never heard of it. He'd never seen one. And, you know, it's in those moments where that kind of takes my breath away a little bit, because sometimes you just think, right, that all these kids or all the people that you come in contact with have heard about Jesus, have heard about the word of the Lord. But, you know, the reality is that not everybody has heard about Jesus. Not everybody has a Bible. Not everybody knows what it is. And it kind of just took me back for a moment, because I thought, you know, that's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, so that I can teach that boy that was so inquisitive, that just wanted to know what it was, about how important this word of God is. And I'm telling you, that boy, he has not missed one time at Epic Kids. He comes in and he is just so excited. And some of the stuff we do, you know, it's just little activities and fun things, but man, he is just so excited to be able to get into the word of God. And he'll remember every single thing that we teach him. He'll talk about it the next week. I told him that the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. I mean, that's really fun to tell the kids, because they're like, wow, swords are like really sharp, and that's sharper than that. So the next week I said, does anyone remember what the Bible is? And that's what he remembered, is that it was sharper than any two-edged sword. So I just wanted to just share that with you, and thank you for praying for the Epic Kid program, for praying for Kids on the Move, because the resources that you give to that, we are using that and we are taking it into the schools. We're this morning out at Kids on the Move, there were about, I don't know, probably 10 to 15 kids that came forward and gave their lives to Jesus this morning. And it's just such a special thing to see kids lift up their hands and to worship Jesus. So I just wanted to personally thank you for investing into the children of this church. And I know a lot of you that are sitting here today, you've had kids in the kids program, and or maybe you're a grandparent or whomever, but just from the bottom of my heart, I say thank you to you as the children's pastor and as a mom. You know, I'm just so thankful for the support that you all have for the children. At the beginning of this year, in January, as you all know, we were in the middle of a fast for the church, and I know a lot of us participated with that. And it was during that time that the Lord really impressed upon me the message for tonight. I'm a big believer of writing things down. I have journals, I have sticky notes. If you go into my office, I have sticky notes everywhere. Just because if I get a thought, I jot it down, and then I just kind of stick it on something, and, you know, they're everywhere. But I've gotten better. I've gotten a little bit more organized with my thoughts, and I put them in a journal, in different things. But the Lord gave me some very specific things for myself, for my family, for the ministry, for this year. And one of those things that was just so strong in my spirit was the word joy. And that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. Because I've been doing, you know, a study on what it means to have joy. And when I mean study, I mean I've been getting into the scripture. I've been getting into the word of God and seeing what it really means to have joy. And I know it might seem kind of like a simple topic, but as you begin to dig into the word and you begin to see what having joy means for you, for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your workplace, it's unbelievable what we have, what we can have on the inside of us when we get connected with Jesus and we have the joy that the Bible talks about. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. My message is entitled this, Joy Comes in the Morning. How many of you have heard that? Joy comes in the morning. I'm not sure what maybe you're facing here tonight. Maybe you're looking at me and you say, Kelly, that sounds really good. But you know what? Right now, I'm facing something really difficult. I just ask you to give me a few moments in the Word of God to show you that no matter what your circumstances may be, no matter what you may be going through, that I can tell you with assurance in my heart that no matter what it is, that though the sorrow may last for the night, I have good news, because the Word says that joy comes in the morning. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So if you want to turn in your Bible to the book of John, and we're going to go to chapter 15. And when you're there, shout amen. Ooh, somebody got there really fast. Ooh, number two. This morning, we for Kids on the Move, we're teaching the kids all the books of the Bible. So this is the, we make a J. Is that the right way, the J? Backwards. All my Kids on the Move people over there. We're making up motions for the kids so they can remember all the books of the Bible. It's really cool. Okay. You're like, cool. Whatever. Okay. John chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1 through 11. It says this, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you, even as the Father has loved me. Here again, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. It doesn't say that you're going to just get a little bit of joy, but it says, yeah, you are going to have so much joy that your joy is going to overflow. I'm not sure that gets you a little bit excited or not, but it sure does to me. Because no matter what we face, listen, no matter how difficult your circumstance may be right now in this moment, even though it might seem hard, you can still have joy. You can still have joy despite what it is that you're going through. And it says this very specifically in the scriptures, that you must remain in him to receive these things. You have to make the choice whether or not you are going to stay connected to Jesus. It says that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. If we choose to stay connected to him, if we stay connected to the source, then we can have this joy that is overflowing. And it's not only for you, but it's for everybody else that you come in contact with. So I wanted to kind of figure out what it means to remain in him. So I want to talk to you about that for just a few minutes. Remaining in Christ means this. Number one, that when you remain in him, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. 1 John 4:15 says, all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. You have to recognize that Jesus is the Son of God. And once you have recognized that, then you have to make the choice. You have to make the choice, number two, that you have to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life. We see in John 1:12 that it says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, for a lot of you here tonight, I see a lot of familiar faces, and I know a lot of you have made that commitment. You've asked Jesus to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins. You probably can remember the time when you asked the Lord into your heart. Maybe you were a child. Maybe you were an adult. Maybe you came down here, or maybe not. But we all have to have that time, right, that we have asked Jesus to come into our heart to forgive us from our sins, that you can just remember, just like the date that you got married, just like a birth date of your child, that you know that for sure that you asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins and that you have made him Lord of your life. That's what it means to remain in him. You have to have had that moment where you have made that choice to follow Jesus. The third one is once you have done that, you have to do what Jesus says. That's called obedience. For us moms and dads, you know, we like our kids to obey, right? When we ask them to do something, we say out of Kids on the Move, you obey right away. So, you know, that's one thing, not only just for children, but it's for us. It's for us when God has called you or asked you to do something that you obey. In 1 John 3:24, it says, those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the spirit he gave us lives in us. So when we stay connected to Jesus, to the vine, then he produces that fruit for you and me. Good things, joy, peace, strength. And tonight I'm really focusing on joy for each and every one of us tonight. You know, sometimes in life, things go really well, right? Has anybody here had like a really good day before? Like everything, I mean, you got up when the alarm went off. You didn't even hit snooze. Does anybody hit the snooze button ever? Okay, good. You can all be my friend. You got to hit this snooze like a few times. My son, Kobe, I always compliment him because he'll get up the second the snooze button goes off. And I'm like, how do you do that? Like, I set my alarm even like 15 minutes earlier to the time I have to get up because I like that time. And I'll always look like, oh, 7 minutes. I got 3 minutes left. I got 1 minute left, but he like gets right up just like that. So anyway, I'm going to talk about what it means to be happy and what it means to have joy, because sometimes we think they're the same thing. But you see, happiness is getting up when that alarm goes off on time, and it's getting the kids dropped off to school on time. And maybe for you teenagers, it's getting a really good grade on your test. Or those of us that are having a job or in the workplace, you maybe get a compliment from your boss. You see, everything is going really, really good for you. So as a result of that, because of your external circumstances are going really good for you, you're happy, right? Because everything's going really, really good. But what happens when things don't go so good? What happens when you sleep in? And that snooze button, you hit it way too many times, so it's just not working any longer. And then your kids are late, and then your kids are fighting. And then, you know, you go to the bank, and then you find out that you don't have as much money as you thought you did. And then, you know, all this stuff is just going wrong. Do you think you're going to be happy anymore? You can answer yes or no. No. No, you're not going to be happy because everything else is going wrong. You see, being happy means when everything's going good, you're going to be happy. But when everything, all your circumstances are not so good, you are not going to be happy. And the difference between being happy and having joy is that despite what is going on around you, despite that you slept in, despite that you got pulled into your boss's office, despite that your kids are fighting at home, guess what? You still have the joy of the Lord on the inside of you, and it provides strength for you no matter what you face. And you can receive that joy tonight if you choose to stay connected to Jesus, if you choose to stay connected to the vine. And it is a choice for you and for me. But it's time for us as children of God to have that joy rise up on the inside of us. The Bible says in Psalms 30, verse 5, that though the sorrow may last for the night, joy comes in the morning. You see, there's just a season, there's just a little matter of time that we experience the sorrow, that we experience the stress, that we experience the bad news. But from that moment forward, after that time passes, the scripture says, sorrow only lasts for the night, and joy comes in the morning. I want to just encourage you here tonight, no matter what, no matter how big your problem is, no matter how big that external circumstances seems for you in your life and in that moment, that Psalms 30 verse 5 doesn't just apply for me, it doesn't just apply for your neighbor, but it's for every single one of you tonight that choose to stay connected to Jesus, that though the sorrow lasts for the night, joy does come in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. And I love the amplified version of that verse because it says, a shout of joy comes in the morning. I think it's time for us as Christians to have a shout of joy come on the inside of us. I don't know about you, but when I walk, around Corinth or anywhere you go to Bangor, don't you see an awful lot of this? Hey, how's it going? Good. Oh, it's snowing outside, and oh, the gas prices are so expensive, and everybody is so sad. Everybody is so sad. I just want to walk up to them and be like, my goodness, smile, do something, have some joy. We can have the joy of the Lord on the inside of us, and that's what we need tonight. I'm telling you, if you get connected, which I know a lot of you here tonight are, you can receive this joy that the Bible is talking about, that Jesus speaks to us. It's not just a little bit of joy, but it's joy that is overflowing, and it's available to every single one of us tonight. Now, I did a little bit of study, typing in on Google, so I don't know how, accurate this information is, when you type in stuff on Google. Did any of you ever do that? Okay, there's a few yeses, thank you. But I wanted to know, because, I know I was making a joke out of it, that people look so depressed all the time, but the reality is that people really are depressed, right? The reality is that people really have a poor outlook on life and on their circumstances. And you just go anywhere and people look so broken and they look like they just hurt so bad. And we have the answer for them. But I was just curious to see, because I was thinking about joy, but the opposite of joy is being depressed, right? Depression, you hear about it all the time. On the TV, on the radio, on the news, even people that are movie stars or they're depressed. They have no hope. They have no joy. But statistically, depression, which is the opposite of joy. Now, remember, I said don't, this is what Google told me. But it's the leading cause of disability. Depression is the leading cause of disability in the United States among people who are ages 15 to 44. The leading cause of disability is because of depression. If only they could get a little bit of this hope that we're reading about here tonight. What a difference that would make in their life, in their home, for their entire family. Anxiety disorder, which is also the opposite of joy, is the most common mental illness affecting 40 million adults in just the United States of America. Depression, anxiety, it's real. It's real. But you know what? That is the thief's purpose. That is what the enemy wants for every single one of us. He wants us destroyed. We know that the scriptures say in John 10:10 that the thief comes to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants you depressed. He wants you sad. He wants you walking around hating life, hating your situation, hating every single thing that you do, because that's what he does. That's what the enemy does. He wants to suck the life right out of you. He does not want you to see what this scripture says, that if you stay connected to Jesus, and somebody please hear me, because this is so real, that if you just stay connected to Jesus, you can have life and you can have it abundantly. You can have joy and you can have it abundantly. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, but the enemy, he is out to kill you. He is out to destroy your family. He wants you depressed. He wants you on medication. He does not want you free. But I am so thankful that the other half of that verse says, but Jesus says that I have come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You do not have to walk around with the weight of the world on your shoulders any longer. You can stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to the vine, and he will give you strength. He will give you hope, and he will help you find a way out when it looks like there's no way out for you. Can you say amen to that? You know, I was talking to my husband the other day, and as a lot of you guys know, he's a trooper with the Maine State Police, but this is something that, you know, just looking at the people that I come in contact with. And this is because it's been stirring on the inside of me for a few months about this concept of joy and what's available to us. But listen, this is available to us. Why not grasp it? Why not take a hold of it? Why not have the joy of the Lord on the inside of us? So no matter where you are tomorrow, you can give a little bit of joy to somebody that has none, to somebody that has no hope. You see, he goes to a lot of pretty crazy calls. You know, through the night, we'll get phone calls, and I keep saying that they need to pay the wife for those call-outs, because they'll call at like 1:30 in the morning and say, is Brian there? I'm like, yes, he is. Hand the phone over, and then I can't get back to sleep after that, so that's why I think we should get paid, too. But it's okay. It's a joke. It's supposed to be funny. Thank you for, okay, there we go. So anyway, he gets called out to a lot of, you know, pretty difficult situations. And this was just a couple weeks ago, and he got called out to this call, and this person, you know, was dealing with a lot of difficult things, a lot of really hard things. And they said that they just are just full of panic and depression, and, you know, they just can't seem to get out of it. And immediately, he could sense that it was a spiritual battle going on. It's just the way that they acted and the stirring that was on the inside of them. He said he made eye contact, and he knew immediately that was a spiritual attack. But you see, everything that this person was given to help them wasn't helping. You see, what Brian knew and what Brian has on the inside of him is what that person needed in that moment. So that person ended up having to be arrested. They put him in... He put that person in the cruiser, and that person looked at him and said, you know, the last time I went to jail, I just bashed my head off the side of the car the whole way there. That's all I did, you know, just giving Brian a hard time. Brian looked that person in the eye and said, you're going to sit there, and you're going to be quiet. And then he cranked up the evangelist that he loves to listen to and put on the word of God, and that person just put their head down and did not say one word. I am telling you that we have something on the inside of us that this world needs. You know, you never, ever know where you are going to be when you're going to be that person that can take that step and say, hey, I heard that you were going through this. I see that you're going through this. Let me help you. Let me help you. And when you stay connected to Jesus, and when you are obedient to him and what he's called you to do, you are not only helping yourself, but you're helping all the people that are around you. This world needs you. This world needs every single one of us tonight to not just get up tomorrow and think, oh, it's Monday morning and I have to do this, 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 and this. But when that alarm goes off tomorrow morning, why don't you think, you know, and say to yourself, God, thank you so much for today. thank you so much that I have a relationship with you and that you are going to use me today to make a difference. Why don't we allow the words that come out of our mouth to speak life over yourself, to speak life over your family, to speak life over your situation and say, God, I thank you that I have breath in my lungs. I thank you that I can walk with a purpose in whatever it is that you have for me to do today. I am going to do it. Because, you know, somebody else's life might depend upon you being obedient and showing them to Jesus. Every single one of us can make a difference everywhere we go, no matter what it is, even in Walmart. Because I'm going to tell you what happened in Walmart, because I love Walmart. I really do. I go to Walmart every Thursday. So if you ever want to find me, you'll find me there on a Thursday. But on a Thursday, this Thursday, I happened to take my husband with me, which he does not like Walmart so much, okay? But he'll go just to spend quality time with his wife. So we were there, and as I said, I've been really praying. The Lord's been showing me some really good things about joy and different things. So I have a mission everywhere I go now, that no matter where I go, I want to make a difference for somebody. Wherever I go, even in Walmart. So my husband got to tag along on this one, and we've been talking about this a lot. And it was over Christmas, and so we're in a very long line. But there's this one lady at Walmart that's really good. Like, she's the fastest scanner person I've ever saw. Like, what is that person called that scans people out? Cashier? Okay. But she's, like, so fast. Like, it's, like, amazing. So anyway, I always look for her. And so we were there, and we saw her, and she had a really long line, but she's that good that you could wait in her line, and she'll get you through faster than the other people. Like, seriously, she's amazing. So I told Brian, I was like, well, get in this line because I really like her. And he's been a few other times with me, and he knows her, and he always jokes with her and whatever. So we were in this line, and the person way in front was giving her a really hard time. Like, to the point where she was, like, starting to cry. Like, you could tell. It was just one of those uncomfortable situations where, like, you want to listen, but you don't want to listen. You know what I mean? You've ever been there? And so, like, we were trying to figure out what was going on. And I was not looking because I get a little bit more shy like that. But Brian's, like, great on it. You know? So he's looking. He's like, that guy has, like, a stack of cards that's, like, this thick. And he keeps trying all of them, but none of them will work. But he thinks it's her fault, but, you know, really it's not. So anyway, he was, like, being really, really mean to her. So finally she gets through it, and everyone goes through, and then it's our turn. Like, it's our turn. We get so excited to help people be joyful. Like, we look at each other, we're like, yeah, like, it's go time. Let's go. So, like, she starts to scan it through, and she's, like, huffing and puffing, and she's, like, trying to hold back her tears. And she's having, you know, a little bit of a hard time. But then Brian, he just goes for it. Like, he's joking with her. He calls her by her name because it's on the tag. And he's, like, stuffing the groceries and all the things in the bags. You can tell I've never worked at a grocery store before. But, you know, all the items. And then he would, like, pull them out on her. And then she'd stuff them back in. It was just, like, hilarious. It was so funny. And within a matter of minutes, I'm telling you, that sorrow, that sadness that she had, that whole situation was changed because we just wanted to, like, just give a little bit of what we had to her. And I'm telling you, like, I know that seems so simple and you know, like, not a big deal. Yeah, Kelly, you went to Walmart and you made somebody happy. But no, you never know the impact that you can have. Every single person in this room, I'm talking kids that are listening to me, teenagers, Ignite Group, Elevate, adults, every single one of us have a purpose. Every single one of us that had that connection with Jesus have a call on our lives to do something special. And we can carry that joy. We can carry that hope every single place that we go. And I think that's what, you know, the Lord has sent me here to just tell every person tonight. Is don't get up tomorrow and just do the same thing over and over again. Just to the end of the week to be like, oh, it's Friday. And I can, like, chill or do whatever. And to look at that whole week that you've passed by, all of these moments, all of these opportunities that you could have just let that joy just overflow wherever you are, whatever you do. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength tonight. every person in here. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Do not let the enemy win. Do not let the enemy win, because he wants everybody walking around depressed. He doesn't want us to spread this joy, but I am so thankful that there's many people here tonight that do want to spread that joy. I want you all to turn to the book of Exodus real quick, and I want to show you something pretty powerful. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13. And now this is a story about Moses. A lot of us know this. He has just taken the Israelites, and they've escaped out of Egypt. But now they're standing in front of a really massive problem. They're standing in front of the Red Sea. And behind them is the enemy. Behind them is the Egyptian army that is coming to kill them. And everybody, the Israelites, they are all in panic mode. And as you can imagine, you know, they're asking Moses, like, why in the world would you get me out of Egypt to come here and to just have us die? Like, what in the world were you thinking, basically, right? They're panicking, they're talking, they're frustrated. They have all this commotion. Moses has all this commotion going on around him. He has the pressure of the enemy coming in behind him, but yet he is standing in front of a situation that looks completely impossible. And maybe that's kind of how you feel here tonight. Maybe you feel like you're kind of at that point where you kind of don't know where to go. You feel like you have the pressure. Maybe you have people telling you certain things. Maybe your mom or family or friends, they're kind of talking around you, and you feel that pressure, and you have an impossible situation in front of you, and yet you are not sure what to do. But I want to show you what the Lord tells Moses here in verse 13. It says, but Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Because at this point, they really are. Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. And so for somebody tonight, so strongly, I felt like you needed to hear that the Lord himself, whoever it is in this place, the Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. It's so hard sometimes, you know, when you see the circumstance in front of you in the natural, you know, that looks really hard, that looks really difficult, and you have all the pressure. I just kind of visualize the enemy just kind of coming in and just feeling that push behind you. But yeah, you have nowhere to go, because you have this, for Moses, it was the big Red Sea. But the neat thing about this, and the importance that takes us back to what we read first, what I started in John 15, about being connected to Jesus, is you see that the Lord will help you find a way out. The Lord will help you to know what it is that you have to do, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how big the problem is in front of you, no matter how much pressure you have coming in behind you, that the Lord will help you find a way out, just like he helps Moses. You go on to read that in verse 15, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. I love that. That actually, like, makes me laugh, because it's kind of like the Lord is telling Moses, like, okay, it's time to, like, stop talking, like shut your mouth and do what I told you to do. And you know what? Sometimes that's the difficult part for us. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes when the situation's in front of me and I have pressure and I have all this confusion going on, that sometimes it's a little bit difficult, you know, to be able to completely trust on what's happening. But when I stay connected and I hear the voice of the Lord say, Kelly, do this, you know what? Sometimes it doesn't make sense. You go on to read this. What does he tell Moses to do? What he told Moses to do doesn't really make sense, right? It says that pick up your staff and raise your hand over the sea. divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground. The Lord might tell you to do something that doesn't make sense, but I'm telling you, if you stay connected to Jesus, if you stay connected to the source, no matter what it is, no matter how big, no matter how small, he will help you. It says right here that he will fight for you. He will rescue you. Just stand still, and the Lord himself will fight for you. I want you to really think about that tonight. If it's you that's maybe struggling and going through a hard time, and you're thinking, you know, that sounds really good, but you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. But the answer is right here in the Word. The answer is in the Word of God, and it says that you stay connected to Jesus. You stay connected to the vine, and he will help you. He will show you a way out, even if it doesn't make sense. But you have to make sure that you obey, that you're obedient to whatever it is that God has called you to do. He's told you to do it. You do it, and you will see yourself come through on the other end. Moses, he did exactly what God told him to do. He lifted up the staff, and the waters parted, and they were all able to get across on the other side safely. And then once they got there, I want you to see in verse 30, it says that this is how the Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians that day. And they could see the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shore. When the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had displayed against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and put their faith in him and his servant Moses. You see, the Lord helped and showed Moses and all the Israelites the way out. And if you read on a little bit further, the next chapter, they begin to sing songs of praise. They begin to just lift up their voice and say thank you to God for showing them the way out. And I would just encourage every single one of us here tonight that when God showed you that way, the way out, and when you're on the other side, don't forget to give the praise to Jesus. Don't forget to say thank you, Father, that I'm living a life of victory. I thank you that you showed me a way out when it seemed impossible, when it seemed so difficult. But begin to just lift up your hands and say thank you, Jesus. And let's just do that right now all over this place. Let's lift up our hands. God, we thank you that you show us a way out. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place that's still looking for the way out, God, that you will show it to them as they spend time in your presence, as they spend time in your word. God, I pray that you will reveal things to them tonight, right now in your presence, that you will show them the way out. And when they get to the other side, Lord, I pray that a shout of victory comes out of them. Right now, I pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is stirring on the inside of every single person that's here tonight, that we're not going to walk around sad or depressed, but we are going to remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we say thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If the musicians want to come up tonight, you know, a lot of times we think that these situations have to be like these big, huge problems. But you know, there's sometimes in life just the daily things that happen in your home or in your workplace that we can choose to have joy. It doesn't have to be this huge, big Red Sea out in front of you, but for some of you tonight, it is. But for some of you else that are sitting in here, maybe you're not facing a huge circumstance at the moment. But the joy of the Lord that I'm talking about tonight, that is our strength, is for the big things and it's for the little things. You know, this past week, well, 2 weeks ago, it was February vacation, and I had a few days off with my kids, and I got them candy. I got them some Mike and Ike candies, which are those little chewy things. I don't know if you guys have ever had them. But anyway, they come in this box, and my kids, like, love Mike and Ikes for some reason. I don't know. But they were opening, or my youngest was going to open up this box of brand new Mike and Ike, so it's really full. And I told her, I was like, oh, you be careful, because sometimes they're hard to open, and then they just have this huge explosion all over the floor. See, I sensed it coming, you know, like I knew ahead of time it was going to happen. But I was trying to work, you know, work it out with him. And so he's like, no, I got it. I wanted to help him, but he wanted to do it. So he goes to open this box of Mike and Ike's, and of course, the whole thing all over my kitchen floor. I mean, everywhere, not just a little, but the whole box. And my first initial reaction was like, ugh, you know, like frustration, like my clean floor. But then I stopped. I mean, that only lasted for like a second. Because then I was quickly reminded that, you know what? That's like such a small thing. Like that, this is what I'm talking about. That the joy of the Lord is your strength. No matter what it's big or small, because really my initial reaction was to get frustrated because now we have to pick up this huge mess. But in reality, what's the big deal, right? So I looked at him and I put my hands up and I was like, I'm just going to pretend that I don't see Mike and Ike's all over the floor. I'm going to just pretend as you clean them all up that it's nice and clean. And honestly, the look on his face, he went from like this panic, like, oh my word, my mom's really mad. He went from that look to like, oh, she's not mad. Like, this is so great. I'm just going to pick these up and stuff them in the box. And he got some dog hair along with those Mike and Ikes now. So every single Mike and Ike he goes to eat, he has to like check it out for dog hair. So gross. But you know what? It's in all of those circumstances, big and small, we choose. It's your choice. It's my choice. How am I going to react? How is my husband going to react when he goes and deals with some pretty difficult things? A lot of difficult things are going on all around us. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to base my emotions on just being happy or being sad. But thank goodness that I'm connected to Jesus. And no matter what it is that I'm facing, that I do have the joy of the Lord on the inside of me. And the Bible says in Nehemiah, I believe it is, let me make sure, Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength tonight. All over this place, when we have that joy, that strengthens you. That helps you as a mom. That helps you as a dad. That helps you as a Grammy, as a Grampy, as in the workforce, as a boss. That helps you. The joy of the Lord is your strength, no matter what you face. I think about Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. We talked about it this morning, about how they were going out and they were telling everybody about Jesus, but they got arrested. They got thrown in prison, and not only that, they were beaten. They were put in shackles. And what was their reaction? Was it like, oh my goodness, like I can't believe this is happening. We're out telling people about Jesus, and then this is what happens? No. We know that the scriptures say that they gave thanks. They sang songs of praise, and they lifted up their hands in thanksgiving. And you know what happened? God made a way for them. He sent the earthquake and they were able to escape and get out, not only them, but the other people and the guard. He was saved. His entire family was saved. I'm telling you tonight, you don't even know the ripple effect that your choice will have on the people around you. You have no idea. But I'm telling you tonight, just if you get one thing from this, stay connected to Jesus. And when you do, he gives you the strength. He gives you the joy. He gives you that joy that's deep down in your soul. And no matter where you go, no matter what you face, it can come out. And it can affect the other people that you are around. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't walk around upset all the time. Don't walk around just dreading tomorrow. But I'm telling you, let there be a purpose in your steps tomorrow. Let there be a purpose in your steps tonight. When you go home, maybe when you came here tonight, you came here fighting. Maybe your children were fighting. But I'm telling you, when you go home tonight as a mom and as a dad, make it a point to let the joy of the Lord be your strength in your home, over your entire family, wherever you go. The joy of the Lord is your strength. But stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected. All over this place, if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, I just want to make sure before we go forward, you know, there might be somebody here tonight that you have not, like I talked about in the beginning, maybe you have not had that time where you can say, Kelly, I remember at this moment, this is when I asked Jesus to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. You see, in order to have access to everything that I spoke about tonight, you have to be connected with Jesus. You have to have that relationship with him. And every person in this place, kids, teenagers, college students, adults, senior citizens, whoever it is, this is available for you tonight, but you have to make that choice to make the Lord the leader in your life, to ask Jesus to come in and to forgive you of all of your sins, to keep him number one in your life. And I just want to make sure tonight, is there anybody here tonight that would lift up their hand and say, Kelly, I want to make tonight that night that I know for sure that I made Jesus the Lord of my life and I can stay connected to him. I want to have access to this joy. I want to have access to this strength and to this hope and to this peace. So I want to lift up my hand right now and say, pray for me. If that's you, I want you to just lift up your hand all over this place. Is there anybody here tonight? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. We all have had that moment where we had to do it, where we lifted up our hand and we said, God, that's me. I want you in my life. All right, let's all stand to our feet tonight. I'm so thankful tonight that we are connected to Jesus. And all over this place, I want everybody, we're going to end in the altar tonight. We're going to pray for each other because this is something that every single one of us need. This is something that every single one of us can have. We don't have to worry about our circumstances that are going on. You know, like the scripture says, you may have sorrow that lasts for the night, for a little bit of time, but joy does come in the morning. Joy is available to every single one of you here tonight. And maybe there's some people here tonight that really are having a hard time with joy because you're looking at the Red Sea right now. You see that impossible situation. But tonight, in the mighty name of Jesus, I know that the Lord is going to help you, that he's going to show you a way out, and that you are going to have this joy that is available for you today. So moms, dads, come down to this altar. Let's pray. Let's pray together as a church family. Come on down. Let's not be shy. Let's pray for the joy in our homes. Pray for the joy. Let it be an overflow as you go into the workplace tomorrow. Just lift your hands in worship.
Oh, victory, you have won. Victorious, you have come. What was stolen, you brought back to us. Our champion, you fight for.
real quick, and then I'm going to come down and pray for all of you. But I just sense in my spirit that we need joy back in our homes. That we need that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory in our homes. We need that for our children. We need to be that example for our kids and for our family that's maybe not saved. But tonight, if you're down here, I want you to just, I'm going to pray for you as well. And I'm actually going to have my husband come up and pray for the men. And we're going to pray over the homes tonight. Because I have such a burden for our homes that we do not have to walk around any longer. We don't have to walk around, you know, based on all of these circumstances around us. But let's stay focused on what we read tonight. Let's stay focused on what the Word of God says for us. So if your family's here down at the altar, just begin to pray. And honey, if you want to come up and pray just for the men in the homes, and we're going to just believe together all over this place. So let's just lift up our hands and receive from the Lord tonight. He wants our homes blessed. Thank you, Jesus.
Speak in the Holy Spirit. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Ibro ko shanda raba ko raba shata. Robo shanda raba ko robo shanda. Ibro ko shata raba ye ashanda raba ko robo shando. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing. We thank you that you go before us, Heavenly Father. We thank you that you fight our battles for us. Lord, when the enemy attacks us from one direction, you said in your word that he will scatter in seven directions. It is time that we, as the children of the Most High God, take a stand, Heavenly Father, and don't allow our families to turn into the devil's playground. But Lord, we kick the devil in the face and send him back to hell where he deserves to be. Lord, I ask that you raise up men in this church that are sick and tired of their children and their spouses being beaten down, Lord, being that trouble, when trouble comes, that they tuck their tail and run. But God, we will stand up, we will square our shoulders back, and we will look to you, for you are the source. The world is not the source. We will recognize that the source of our trouble is the enemy, but greater is he that lives inside of me than he that is in the world. God, we thank you that there is nothing that the devil has done to us that you cannot do something about right now. Right now, Lord, and we thank you for that, that you're raising up a new generation of people that are not going to be satisfied with status quo, that are not going to be satisfied with being beaten down and tore up, but we are going to be expecting victory. It is an expectation of us as children of God. We are expecting victory because we know our source is in you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray for every mom, every grandmother, every woman that's in this place tonight. God, we thank you, Jesus, that you help us. That you help us to be godly women. That you help us in every single area of our life. The small things, the big things, the stuff that maybe sometimes doesn't make sense. God, I know as a woman, sometimes we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. But I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will go to every person in this place. And Lord, that they will realize that their source is you. God, that you are where we find our strength. That you are where we find our joy and our peace. God, every single thing that we need, we know that we get it from you, that it comes from you. So I pray all over this place and for those that are watching online, God, that you will move into the homes of the people. God, that you will stir something on the inside of us, that joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And we say thank you right now. All over this place, just begin to thank him for meeting your need. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting every person. We thank you, Jesus, that you are so good, that you fight our battles. Come on, just let that shout of joy come out of you tonight, all over this place. Pray for the people that are around you, that that joy is just stirring on the inside of you. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you. You are good.